Father, Lord, we thank you, O God, for this time, for this worship. How wonderful it is to be in your presence. I ask you, Father, Lord, to use these lips, Lord, to use my mind, to use your word to minister to your people so that your people can minister to you, dear Lord. Lord, your word says that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Lord, break the yoke of every stress. Break the yoke of everything that we think is negative. Lord, if we're going through something, let that yoke, the Holy Spirit, break the mindset of being defeated. We are not defeated. We are more than conquerors, Father God. And I ask you, Lord, to help me, Lord, bring forth your word and to not go beyond your anointing, dear Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you. Amen. Amen. So, just out of... These are my Kool-Aid socks that Betty got me for Valentine's, you see? Yeah. They're not edible, but, you know, they're good. So... You have to enjoy the presence of God, you know? Yeah, the word says that a merry heart does good, you know? Science is finally catching up to us, to what the word of God says. So I want to bring this from a different perspective. You won't understand Ephesians unless you understand your identity. Okay? Because if we don't understand our identity in Christ, it's just another letter. Yes. It's just another letter, another book, another thing to read. That's all it is. So I want us to understand that Ephesians talks a lot about who we are in Christ and how we have access to Christ. So our identity... In Ephesians, right, it says our identity, it's our age-old question. What's our identity, right? We always say, who am I? Why am I here? Right? Who are we? Where do we come from? Why am I here? Before we can answer any of those questions, we have to ask ourselves one very important question, and that is, who do we belong to? You see? Because growing up, my mom said, she said, don't embarrass me, right? Don't embarrass me. You know that, right? Spanish mothers. No me hagas vergüenza. Don't embarrass me or I'll slap you. Spanish mothers my mom carried the belt with her whenever we went out when I was small, you know. Yeah, make a move. I got you already. Right? But, so we need to, we belong, right? Who do we belong to? Until we answer that question, the other questions don't matter. Where we're going to and all that, it doesn't matter. The letter of Ephesians forces us to answer that question. Why? Because unless we believe whose we are, Ephesians would just be another letter that Paul wrote. In first Ephesians 1:5, just to give a thing, it says that we have been predestined to adoption. We have to understand that that's part of our identity. We do not identify with the world any longer. We identify with what God says. And God says that he has predestined us in Ephesians 1:5. Right? So it says, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ himself, according to the kind intention of his will. It was God's kind intention to predestine us. You know, it's not like, okay, let me get this person here because, you know, he feels so down and out and all that. No, he predestined us. He wanted us. He wanted us. His kind intention, right, to predestine us. According to his kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us. Right? So that's one, that he predestined us. Number two, we have redemption, or we've been redeemed through the blood. Right? And Alyssa sang about that, you know. Oh, there you go. You sang my message. Yes. You know? And so it says in Ephesians 1:7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. You know, not many people want to lavish things on us. But God, the creator of the entire universe, wants to lavish us with his grace, with the riches of his grace. That's part of our identity. And I want to continue saying that throughout this whole message, because it's so important that we get that into us, that this is part of our identity. When you can, I hope that you can try to read Ephesians as many times as you can so that you can get it in you, because Ephesians is so powerful. It's where we learned about the armor of God. The armor of God, that is, it's something that Paul said, because back then the soldiers wore an armor to protect themselves against the enemy. We have a spiritual armor to protect us against the enemy. And we do have an enemy, in case you don't know that, right? We all know that, you know? So we have redemption through the blood. He purchased us. No, we didn't come here on our own free will. We didn't get saved because, oh, well, I think today, you know, I think I'll get saved today. No, he redeemed us. We were on a course down to hell. That's the reality of our lives, okay? The word says that he redeemed us and he purchased us, right? And that phrase, to be redeemed, is when there was a slave in the market that was going to be sold. And someone would come and redeem them by paying their price, right? And so Christ paid the price for us. And we have been redeemed. And because we have been redeemed, we have obtained and received an inheritance, having been predestined, right? So in 1:11, it says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So we have access. We have an inheritance. We have that inheritance because, again, first we've been predestined. You see? And then in 1:13. 1:13, the next one is, we have been with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have been given the Holy Spirit of promise as a pledge of our inheritance. Right? God made a pledge, right? When Christ was on that cross. Once he gave up his ghost, right, he gave us the Holy Spirit as a seal, as a pledge, letting us know that we have that inheritance. That inheritance. Without anything else, it's like when our parents or someone passes away and they say, oh, I'm going to pass you my inheritance. But if there's nothing to back that up, a piece of paper saying, hey, I'm leaving my inheritance to so-and-so, a promise, then it's just empty words. But you see, the Lord gave us his Holy Spirit, right? He gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge. As a pledge, you know? God is so good, you know? All right? And again, this is part of our identity, that we have the Holy Spirit. 5, he made us alive. In verse 2, chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. I'm going to go down that rat hole, Pastor, that rabbit hole, okay? Because sometimes we think that we are too good, all right? But here, Paul is saying that if it were not for Christ making us alive, we still would be dead in our trespasses and our sin. I know where I came from. I know where I've been at. I don't plan to go back. I don't plan to go back because it was bad, right? It's a bad place, you know, and I'm sure that just about everyone here can say the same thing. You don't want to go back to where you was once before because it didn't give you anything good. It made you miserable. It made you depressed. It made you suicidal. It made you crazy, right? And so you don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. And so it says in verse 4, I love this. So verse 3 says, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But verse 4 says, But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. So I like that first part of verse 4. But God. Has anyone ever had a but God moment? Oh, yeah. But God. Unless God intervene, right, we will be probably chasing down a lot of things that we shouldn't be. But God saved our wretched souls. Oh, yes. Okay. But God. I've had plenty of those times where I almost died, whether it was out of stupidity or out of depression, right? But God intervened. And we all have a but God. And guess what? There should never be a point in our lives that we don't have a but God. Because you know what? That keeps us straight. That keeps us focused and aligned with what God has for us. You see? But God. Excuse me while I have my eternal water here, you see? It says eternal water, right? Right? I figured it says eternal. I might as well start now down here before I get up there and drink real eternal water, right? Yeah, man. Dollar General. Yeah. Dollar General. You know? And it tastes good. I changed from Aquafina to eternal water. I read up on it, by the way. It's a good water. Right? So isn't that good? There's always a but God, you know, in our lives. In the Old Testament, unless God rescued David, oh my God, how many but gods did that man have? You know, his children was after him. Saul was after him. His enemy was after him. He acted crazy so that way the enemy would get that guy out of here quick. You know, right? That was a but God moment. Yeah. That was a but God moment. Then in verse 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace, through faith, we have been saved. Because we are in church doesn't mean we are in Christ. Which sea are we in? Are we here to play church? No. There's always thing I always hear, oh, I was a PK kid and this and that, and I went my way, and it's like, you know why? Because you went your way? Because you was in church, but you wasn't in Christ. You know? And it's wonderful when we see pastors' kids here worshiping because they are experiencing the presence of God. May they never get a taste for the world. Because it will just become so sour to them, you know. And they're beautiful. You know, they help us get into the presence of God, you know. And so we've been saved by grace, not by anything that we've done. We're not good enough for that grace. We're not good, okay. And so it says in the Old Testament, it says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. In case we've done any study on what that filthy rag was, you look it up. I'm not going to say it here, but you look it up. It was nothing clean, nothing good, bad, right? So decide which sea you want to be in, church or in Christ. That's a decision that we have to make. But again, our identity is that we have been saved by grace, through faith. Okay? In verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Let me tell you about what that word workmanship says in the Greek. In different versions, it says that we are his masterpiece. In other versions, it says that we are his poetry. The Greek word for that word workmanship comes from the Greek word poema. Poema. It's where we get the Spanish word poema, right? It means poem. So what does that mean to us? It means that we are his poem. We are his poem. We can't get away from being his poem. We might mess up. We might really just do a disastrous thing in our lives. He still considers us his poem. David messed up big time, right? When we read the Old Testament, the life of David, he messed up. But guess what? God never took away where it says that David was a man after God's own heart. No. And in another scripture in the Old Testament, it says that he has us engraved in his hands, tattooed. And he never takes it off. We can take it off by our sin, by our rejection of him, by going away and leaving God behind. But he will never take it off. Once he said it, once he did it, that's it. We are his poem. I want us to understand that. We are his poem. Okay? You are his poem. Understand? You are his poem. And you cannot run away from God. I'm so glad you're here. Yep. You know? We are all his poem. Jacob, you're his poem. You know? He's written it, you know. He's written. What does it say in Psalm 139? Hey Tony, could you put up Psalm 139, verse 13 through 18? Okay. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. How good. How good. You know? How good. Okay? How good. Tony, put 71 up there. 71:6. This I saw the other day, and it just blew me away. It says, from birth, I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. Verse 16, I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. Oh, yeah, and 15. Is that 15? No, bring it to 15. Oh, my mouth, yeah, okay. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long. Though I know not how you relate them all. Another one says that he took me out of trouble, all my troubles. All my troubles, you know. And so God, we can't get away from God. Why should we want to get away from God? There's no reason for it. You know, he knew us. He wrote our lives already. Okay? In those books, we are his poem in those books. It's like he did a masterpiece and he wrote it. He says, this is what I'm going to write about my child. We weren't just born. God put us down here. Yeah, our parents got together, had a nice time, okay? Some of them, anyway, but. All right? But you know what? It was God that sent us. It was God that sent us. We didn't send ourselves, and our parents had nothing to do with it except have a nice time, you know. I calculate I have two sisters. We're all 5 years apart. So we calculated that sometime around June, my parents, every 5 years, got together. Because we were all born in March, 5 days apart, 5 years apart. Yeah, imagine that. So we asked them, yeah, hey, so what happened in June? Right? So... So we are his poem written out of great love. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Don't let him tell you like he told Eve. Did God say? Did God say? Right? What did he tell Eve? Did God say that if you eat this fruit, you're going to die? Or is it just that he just doesn't want you to be like him? Right? That's the devil's lie. Did God say, don't touch that? Did God say that you can't have fun? Did God say, right? What did Paul say? Everything is permissible, but not everything is profitable. Right? Everything is permissible, but not everything is profitable, right? Yeah. I could go and smoke a pack of cigarettes, which I never smoked a cigarette in my life. Other things, but not cigarettes. Cigarettes, I thought cigarettes was just too dangerous. Imagine that, right? My wife, yeah, it's better than cigarettes, you know? Right? My wife is going, oh. You remember Lurch from the Addams Family? Every time, I do that to her sometimes. She told me, do this. I said, it's not good. But don't let the devil tell you otherwise. That he tells you, you're not the child of God. You just messed up. You just messed up. Look what you did. You know what you do? You know what you do? Okay, I messed up. I go to the Father and surrender it, give it to God, come back clean. I'm ready to fight you again, devil. But you're not going to tell me, did God say? Because from the very beginning, God said that he created me in his image and likeness. That means I have the essence of God inside of me to whip him. To whip him real good too. Okay? Yeah. Because we are more than conquerors. Okay? Even to the devil. The blood of Jesus, apart from the Trinity of God, the blood of Jesus is the next most powerful thing in the universe. No devil, no demon, nothing can stand in the presence of even a simple molecule of the blood of Jesus. Because it's the blood of Jesus that redeemed us, and it's the blood of Jesus that keeps us clean. Yes. It's the blood of Jesus that keeps us going. Yes. And we have access to the throne of heaven because of the blood of Jesus. That's right. We could go straight to the Father with boldness and faith and present our petitions to the Lord. When we mess up or when we want to present a brother or a sister before the Lord and say, Lord, help them. Help them. Right? The blood of Jesus. Amen. So, unless we believe whose we are, we will fall for the lies and the trickery of the enemy. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Tony, could put John 10:27 up there. John 10:27. It says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and Yeah. And my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Yes. You know what the Lord showed me about that word listen? It means be actively listening. It's not just coming here, okay, pastor said something, and we forget about it. No, we have to actively be listening to the voice of God. Right? Why? Because we have an enemy that is ready to say, did God say? Did God say? You sure he said? But you see, if we are actively listening to the voice of Jesus, we don't fall for his trickery. Why? Because then we become accustomed to the voice of Jesus. Many of us got accustomed to listening to the voice of the enemy in the world. And sometimes we still haven't let it go. And we have to learn the voice of Jesus all over again. Okay? Yeah. Put John 4 and 16. John 10, 4. John 10, 4. There you go. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Put 16 up there. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Okay? We were once not part of that sheepfold. We were once not part of that sheepfold. But because of his great love and his mercy towards us, we are now part of that sheepfold. You see? Isn't God good? And that, again, I'll say it again, part of our identity. That we are part of that sheepfold. Okay? In 2:13, it says, he draws us near by the blood of Christ. Did you know that we have been made near by the blood of Jesus Christ? There is power in the blood. I already touched on that. Right? And then John 3, Tony. John 3, verse 13. So what is the whole thing about this, right? Why? It's because God has an eternal purpose for us. Right? And in Ephesians 3. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I meant Ephesians 3, though. Yeah. I meant Ephesians 3, Tony. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to confuse you on purpose. You know?
That's so good.
You're the man, bro. So it says in chapter 3, verse 10 through 13, it says, so that the manifold wisdom of God may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, okay? We are to tell the enemy what to do, okay? He doesn't tell us. He doesn't push us around. We push him around. Okay? We have that authority. Okay? We have the authority to push him around. No, you can't come into my house. No, you can't touch my dogs. You can't touch my children. Okay? Because if you let him, he'll go in. Okay? It says, so the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence, confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are your glory. And that's what Paul was saying to the Ephesians back then. Okay, and then 18, right? 18, it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's what God has for us. And that's what he wants for us. That's what he wants. That's part, again, of our identity. Okay? That's God's eternal purpose. That's what he said in the previous verses. He said, that's his eternal purpose. We have purpose in life. Don't let the devil tell you, did God say? You know what? You tell him, yeah, that's exactly right. Can I tell you where he said it? Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, it is written. Amen. It is written. Okay? And so we need to tell that to the world, a dying world. You know, I heard something very interesting. My wife didn't realize, but I was sharing what I was saying now with her yesterday when we were at dinner. We went out and didn't realize that. She didn't realize I was using her as a guinea pig. Oh, yeah. Right? And I heard this the other day. It says, do you know that there's 5 Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what's the 5th one? Anybody know? Us. Not you. I already told you. We are the 5th gospel. Right? We are the 5th gospel. What does Paul say? That we are living epistles. And unless we go out and tell the world the love of Jesus, they will never know. They'll be outside of the sheepfold. We have to let them know. Could you put up there 2 Corinthians 3, because I'm at the very end right now. 3, 2, and 3. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Tony, did you fall asleep over there, man? There you go. It says, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stones, but on tablets of human hearts. And could you put also Colossians 4:16? Colossians 4:16. Oh, yeah. Tony, you okay? Thank you. Thank you, Tony. I love Tony. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read to the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from the Laodiceans. Guess what? We are those letters. We are those letters. And we have to understand that when we are out there in the world is reading our letter. Okay? Yeah, we're not perfect. No, we're not perfect. We stumble, we fall, we mess up, okay? But we get back up, okay? But guess what? We have to make an effort and understand that the world is looking at us. And the only thing, they may not pick up a Bible ever in their life, but guess what? They'll pick up on what you're saying and what you're doing. You see? And we have to understand that we have a mandate from the Lord to be living epistles for Him to show the world. Amen?
Amen.
Yep. Father Lord, Father Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you, Lord, for being with us. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to read your word, Lord, to your people, Lord, that they may understand and get a grasp of their identity in Christ Jesus. Lord, that they may not falter, that they may just hold on. And whenever the enemy tries to tell them, did God say that we let them know? We let the enemy know, yes, He did say, and this is where it says it.